But it's great to be here. So my name's Todd, a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm in recovery for codependency, and I'm glad to be here tonight. So with all that, let's get back to tonight's lesson, and tonight's lesson is on crossroads. And while I was putting the materials together for this tonight, I was reminded of a story that I heard about three men who were on a trek through the Alaska wilderness that's much like our own journey of recovery. On the last day of their trek, Joe, Bob, and Dave came upon a large, raging, violent river. And if you've ever watched any of the Discovery TV shows in Alaska, a lot of those rivers are really big and they're really amazing. So they had no other choice than to cross the river, and they had to do it before nightfall as they were meeting a helicopter the next morning that would take them home. The agreement was that if they would rendezvous at a predetermined location, and the helicopter would wait no more than an hour for them. If they missed that window, they'd be stranded with no alternatives for returning home from deep within the Alaska wilderness. As they stood at the banks of the raging river, they had no idea how they were going to get across this river, whose currents were strong due to heavy rainfalls over the past week. So Joe, being the bravest of the bunch, decided to go first. Before he entered the water, he prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross the river." And poof, God gave him huge arms and huge legs, and he was able to swim across the river in about 2 hours, although he almost drowned a few times because the current was really strong. Seeing Joe's struggles as he crossed the river, Dave prayed to God, saying, "God, please give me the strength and the tools to cross the river." Poof, God gave Dave a rowboat, and he was able to row across the river in about an hour. After almost capsizing the boat a couple of times due to the swift currents and the large boulders in the middle of the river, Bob now had seen how this had worked out for the other two, so he also prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to cross the river." Poof! God turned Bob into a woman. She picked up the map, walked 100 yards upstream, and crossed the river nonchalantly. So sometimes our journeys in recovery may seem impossible, just like those three guys. But actually it is possible, and it's often easier than what we anticipate if we would just follow the map. Fortunately, those of us here in CR, we have a map. And that map is in the form of the Celebrate Recovery materials, the lessons that we listen to on Wednesday nights, and step study. So this book right here is our map to recovery, the step study books. And if you haven't gone through step study, we have those on the back table for you. All we have to do is follow the map. So like the current internet trend, be like Bob, right? So follow the map, read the map. So as we get started tonight, let's start by reading the principle and the steps that go along with this tonight's lessons. And will you all read it out loud with me as we go along? So principle 7, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Step 10, we continue to take a personal inventory, and we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. And the verse that goes along with that, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall, 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you've been here at Celebrate Recovery since the beginning of our journey through these lessons, we're on lesson 19 tonight, we've come to a very important junction or a crossroad in our recovery. And we're at a point where we need to make a choice. Do we move forward in our recovery, or do we slip back into the patterns of the past and end up right back where we started? And for most of us, that's right back in the ditch where we started when we walked in the door the first time. The key point here is it's a choice that we get to make, and a choice that will impact not only our lives, but also the lives of those that are around us. But before we talk about making that decision, let's travel back in time and look at all the work that we've done to get to this point as we're standing here at the crossroad. So if you've been with us since the beginning, and if you haven't, don't worry, we're going to start this whole process over again in a couple of months when we get to lesson 1 again. But I'll catch you up. We'll do a little review of where we've come from. So if you've been with us since the beginning, we've traveled a long road to get to this point. We've been working through our hurts, hang-ups, and habits with a group of women and men who have been seeking freedom from their past hurts and habits and hang-ups. Our journey began at first by facing our denial. So maybe for the first time in your life, you're ready to admit that you've struggled, whatever you're struggling with, whatever your hurt, hang-up, or habit is, that you're ready to step out of denial. Whatever the struggle that you're facing or dealing with, you finally come to the realization that it is an issue, that it has damaged your life and the lives of those around you, and you're ready to move on to freedom that can only come through recovery. You're ready to admit that if you struggle with alcohol, for example, that no, you can't just go and have a beer with a friend. You can't walk into the bar. You can't just have one. If you're a drug addict, same kind of thing. Even though pot is legal, you can't just smoke a joint every now and then and be okay. If you struggle with gambling, you see the destruction that it's caused in your life, and no, you can't just buy a Powerball ticket, even though that Powerball ticket seems innocent enough. If you're addicted to pornography, you now see that even looking at a single image can send you back, spiraling back to where you were when you started. It'll be difficult to climb out. No matter what your addiction is, the first step towards recovery is admitting that you have an issue. And once you do that, you've taken the first step towards freedom. There's no success in going back to the old ways. It only leads to the same place, and it's not a good place. After we stepped out of denial, we next surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. We realized that that we're not God, and that He is, and that only with His help can we succeed in our recovery, as we don't have the willpower or strength to do it on our own. And why wouldn't we want to tap into that power, the power that created the universe to help us with our addictions? Why would we believe that we have the ability to succeed when we failed so many times in the past? Why wouldn't we take the gift that was freely given to us, the gift that gives us the power to succeed in our recovery, and take it? It's sitting there right in front of us, freely for us to take. I know that in my own recovery, I mistakenly thought to myself, well, you know what, I have a bachelor's degree, I have a master's degree, and I have a PhD. And as somebody with a doctorate degree, I should be able to figure this out on my own. Funny what a slippery slope that became for me. So it was part pride, it was part lack of humbleness, but I hunkered down and pushed through my own recovery program, only to crash and burn over and over and over again. My codependency and relationship addictions were so strong that they overpowered my multiple degrees and led me right back to where I started, in the ditch. It wasn't until I surrendered my life to Jesus that I walked out of the valley and into the mountaintop of recovery. With the power of Jesus Christ within us, we then stepped into the hard work of recovery by taking an inward look at ourselves. Without denial, blocking, and clouding our view of the past, we took an honest look at our lives by taking a detailed inventory of all of our wrongdoings, and the impact that our behaviors had on ourselves and others. For many of us, this inward look clearly showed us that our past issues were not a factor of bad luck, nor could we blame everything that's happened to us on somebody else. That we played a role in how we chose to behave and how our choices turned those behaviors into patterns of addictions. For many of us, this was the moment that we'd walked out of where we walked out of the fog and into the clarity that comes with recovery. And with that clarity came hope. So maybe this was the first time we had hope in our adult lives, and that there is a path to freedom, that I don't have to continue to wallow in my addictions for the rest of my life. As we continued on with our inventories, we dug deeper and deeper, uncovering more and more of our past, things that we had often forgotten about or shoved under the rug. We may find that we believe that we walked into Celebrate Recovery to deal with a specific issue, and during the inventory process, we realize that, you know what, we have a lot more to work on than that thing that we walked in for. And that's one of the fun things of small group, is watching those light bulbs go on. You know what, I struggle with that too. So, and it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, right? So it helps us walk into freedom and into that healing and the peace that can only come with letting go of the past and working on our issues. Once we have our inventory completed, and by complete, I want to remind you that our inventory is a living document. It doesn't stop. It goes, we work on it for the rest of our lives. Every day we work on our inventory. But we've caught up to our present day, and to the best of our abilities, we remember what we can from the past. I still have stuff that pops up from my past, and I've been doing this for almost 6 years. So it's not over for me. With our inventory in hand, we share our inventory with our sponsor. This may be the first time that you have shared the details of your past with anybody. And for some of us, it's a frightful proposition. But choosing your sponsor wisely, somebody who has worked the Celebrate Recovery program and understands how the process is a key point in finding someone, is a key point in finding somebody who's safe for you to share the details of your past. Well, at some point you may decide to share your inventory with your spouse or your parents or your friends. Now is not a good time to do that. You want to do it with your sponsor. Let your sponsor guide you through the review process, ensuring that you have balanced your inventory with the good and the bad. Nobody's life is 100% bad. There's always something good to capture in your inventory, and that's one of the things that your sponsor helps you with, remembering the good. With your inventory complete and having shared it with your sponsor, it's now time to let go and let God. So we're continuing down the path of our journey. It was time to humble yourself and allow God to make major changes in your life, remembering that we don't have the power to do all this on our own. And trying to do it on our own hasn't gotten us anywhere other than into trouble, often right back where we started or even worse. Prior to CR, no matter how hard I tried, no matter how many books I read, no matter how many sermons I listened to, no matter how hard I denied that my issues existed, those problems just didn't go away. In fact, they only got worse. But following the process and letting go and letting God take the lead resulted in, for me, absolutely astounding results. And some of you, John, you're here tonight, was in my step study. So he was there from day one. So he knows what a mess I was when I walked in the door. With God in control, it's now time to make amends and being willing to forgive those who have hurt us. Often this is more frightening than sharing our inventory with our sponsor. But the reality is it's part of the process. Remember that there's a roadmap. It's well-defined. If you go through this process, it works. And if it doesn't, we'll give you 100% of your hurts, habits, and hangups back. There's a guarantee. Right? So you don't have to worry about it. We'll give it back to you. As I went through the process of forgiveness and amends, it felt like every person that I talked to, it lightened my load and my burden that I'd been carrying around for decades. So it was like every person I talked to, I took a rock out of my backpack and put it on the ground and didn't have to pick it up again. And as I went through this process, I got to the point where there was no more rocks in my backpack, and it felt free. While not everybody responded to my amends and asking for forgiveness, those who did were the whole event was positive, and the end result was freedom for me from the past. For the first time ever, I felt free. I was able to be the true and authentic person that God created me to be without all the junk of my past in my trunk. And yes, I just said junk in my trunk. So for you taking notes. Wow, that's quite, and if you think about it, that's quite a journey. And we did most of that in about 7 months in step study. So we're not done with step study yet, or through the process. So not too long ago, most of us would have said that this is an impossible journey. When you walk in here the first time and you look at what we need to do, it's overwhelming often. But those that have gone through it, it's actually a pretty simple process. Follow the book, follow the materials, follow your leaders, and it works 100% of the time. So we're amazed at how much we've grown and how much we've changed, and all that is through the first six principles that we've gone through up to this point. And we'd be right. We never would have made it this far under our own power. In fact, the only reason we made it this far is because we made a decision way back in principle three to turn our lives and wills over to the care of Jesus Christ. Without that, it's very hard to get to freedom. And Jesus explains why this is in John 8:32. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, he defines the truth by saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we've been set free from our addictions and our obsessive compulsive behaviors because of the truth. And that is because we ask Jesus Christ into our heart. Principle 7 and step 10 are a crossroads of your recovery. It's not a place to step and rest on your past accomplishments. We need to thank God for getting us this far on our road to recovery and praise him for the many victories that we've overcome, all of our hurts, hang-ups, and habits that we've been working on. We also need to continue to work in the last three steps with the same devotion and enthusiasm that got us to this point in our recovery. 1 Corinthians 10:12 puts it this way, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you won't fall. Most recovery materials refer to step 10 through 12, or principles 7 through 8, as maintenance steps. But I want to disagree with that. With the use of the word maintenance, I believe that it is these steps and these principles in your recovery that define a new way of living, and it really takes off at that point. It really bears the fruit of all the changes that God has been working on you and working with you together. And I like to use an analogy. It's like if you stop at this point in your recovery, it's like building a house but never moving in. So you don't get to take advantage of the benefits of all that work that you did to build a house. You walk away and leave that house sitting there empty. It's in principles 7 and 8 where you and I will find our recoveries for the remainder of our lives, our time here on earth, one day at a time. That's much more than maintenance. It's freedom and a peace that surpasses all understanding. Today I'm standing in the middle of that freedom and peace, and when I look back to the first 55 years of my life, as compared to the last six, I can only imagine what life would have been like if I would have gone through Celebrate Recovery earlier in life. While it's not possible to go back and erase the past, standing here at the crossroads, I made a conscious decision to continue on the journey in recovery, and I'm glad that I did. So let's talk about step 10. And we'll see that step 10 is actually made up of three key parts. So the what is we continue to take a personal inventory, the why is and when we were wrong, and then the then what is promptly admitted it. So let's break that down. So we're gonna spend a little bit of time in the next few minutes looking at each of these parts. Of course, you know, like all lessons, we need an acrostic, and Crossroads has too many letters in it. We never get done tonight. So we're going to shorten it. We're going to use an acrostic of 10, the letter, the word 10, T-E-N. So the first letter, the T, answers the what. So take time to do a daily inventory. To inventory something is simply to count it. So businesses take inventory all the time. Principle 7 reminds us to reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer. This gives us quiet time to count the good and the bad things that we did during that particular period of time. Lamentations 3:40 exhorts us to examine our ways and test them and return to the Lord. So every day we need to ask ourselves the following questions. What good did I do today? In what areas did I blow it today? Did I do or say anything that hurt anybody today? Do I owe anybody an amends? And what did I learn from my actions today? If I do this on a daily basis, I reflect on my day to see if I harmed somebody, acted or reacted out of fear or selfishness, or went out of my way to show kindness. As we stressed in Principle 4, our daily inventories need to be balanced. If we need to look at the good things as well as the bad things. Believe it or not, by the time we get to Principle 7, we actually start doing a lot of good things, not all bad things. But if we're not careful, we can slowly slip back into our old habits, our old hurts, and our old hang-ups, our old dysfunctions. One of the tools to help us not do that is to do an ongoing, regular inventory. The E in our acrostic stands for the why. Evaluate the good and the bad. So evaluate the good and the bad. This step doesn't say if we were wrong. That's what I wish it said, if we were wrong. If I'm ever wrong, or if perhaps I may have blown it. No, the step says when I am wrong, which says we are going to be wrong. Sometimes I really don't want to work this step. It forces me to admit on a daily basis that I am going to be wrong at some point during the day, and I need to that I will make mistakes. And sometimes it's a little painful to think about I'm making mistakes, especially somebody who strives for perfection often. And when we make mistakes, we need to admit them. And who outside of Celebrate Recovery does that, right? So if you look at those that I work with, dozens and dozens of people every day. I don't hear anybody say, gosh, I blew it today. Right? So I do, so it's easier, right? Say, you know what? I messed up. And I did that today. I mentioned that during a corporate meeting. Gosh, I missed that one. Sorry. And it just passed right on by. Nobody said anything. So very few do, but those who do free themselves of the burden of carrying around those wrongs and the impact of those wrongs that they had on themselves and others for the rest of their lives. 1 John 1:8 through 10 says, if we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be dependent on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. If we claim we have not sinned, then we're lying and calling God a liar. For he says, we have sinned. In John 3:21, Jesus tells us, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Step 10 brings us on a daily basis back into that light. So once we see the light, we have a choice. We can either ignore it or we can act on it. If we act, we're living in the last part of step 10 and answer the then what question. The last letter in the acrostic, which is N, stands for need. We need to admit our wrongs promptly. Most of us don't want to admit it when we're wrong, right? It's uncomfortable for most of us. Those of us that have been in recovery for a while, it's actually become second nature. Like, I blew it. Sorry, and here's what I'm going to do to fix it. It's really hard for us to admit our mistakes. Our refusal to offer amends block all of our relationships. As we grew and matured in the Word and in our recovery, we discovered that we have to own our own mistakes and take responsibility for our actions. We couldn't do that if we didn't take a time to take a daily inventory to allow God to show us where we missed the mark. There's another word that I wish that had been left out of step 10, and that word is promptly. Procrastination is one of my character traits. But it's often easier for us to admit mistakes that we made 10 years ago than mistakes that we made today. But step 10 says promptly. As soon as we realize that we blew it, we need to promptly admit it. So it's kind of like a disease or a cut. If you let it fester, it gets worse and worse. If you take care of it today, it heals quickly. So same thing with our mistakes. In Matthew 5:23-24, in the Message version, I love this version, Jesus tells us, this is how I want you to conduct yourselves in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and are about to make an offering, and you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering and leave immediately. Go find this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. In other words, admit your wrongs promptly. So as we wrap up this evening, I'd like to suggest that one way to take the first step in the right direction as we enter into the crossroads of our recovery is to keep track of your good and bad behavior by keeping a journal. So a journal is another way to do an inventory. And if you look in the participant guide number 4 on pages 19 through 25, there are some pages in there for you to practice your journaling. So just remember, your journaling is not a place to record how many calories you had that day. It's a place for you to, for your carpool schedule or your to-do list or your shopping list. Your journal is a tool for you to review and write down the good and bad things that you did today. So look for negative patterns, issues that you're constantly and continually writing down and having to promptly make amends for. If you're doing that over and over again, there's something to look at there and something to work on. Share those things with your sponsors or your accountability partners and set up an action plan for you with God's help to overcome them. Try to keep your journaling going for 7 days in a row, right? So 21 days makes a habit. 7 days, if you can make it 7 days, you can do it 21 days. Start by writing down one thing that you're thankful for your experiences for that day. That will at least get you started. If you haven't used a journal so far in your recovery, I believe you'll find this recovery tool to be a great help. I encourage you to make journaling a daily part of your recovery program. So in 2 weeks, we'll talk about the how-tos of step 10 and ways of avoiding constantly needing to offer amends. If you're making amends every day, there's probably something you need to work on. So the next lesson will help you get through that. Until then, be like Bob, right? Be smart in your recovery, follow the map, and it's not about how hard you work, it's about how smart you are, and by letting go and letting God direct you in your ways. Thank you for letting me share tonight.